phela mina ngiyinsizwa ngiyinsizwa.
Oh yes, oh yes, it's another episode of the Shady Podcast. My name is
Madoobs, baby.
Madoobs, back at it again, and we're black at it again. Yeah, man, I'm excited for this one. Purely because I haven't seen you in a long time. It feels like a long time.
It does feel like a long time, yeah. But I see you had quite a colorful weekend there. This man was at Wimbledon.
Yeah.
I saw you. What was that?
Huh?
What was that?
It was the Amex Tennis Town. So Amex, American Express,
yes,
is the official sponsor of
Wimbledon.
Wimbledon. So there was an activation this side.
All right. This was like a fan park for tennis.
Fan park for tennis at Monte Cassino.
Bro,
Park.
It looked so bougie. Yeah. PH, hell, like, yo, the stuff that PH plays at, guys.
Yeah.
Bougie F.
Yeah, yeah,
and that's why he doesn't invite me.
No, so you know you have friends for different. I'm joking. I'm joking, but it was an eventful weekend in South Africa.
Yeah.
And lots to unpack, lots to speak about. But let's rather, before we get into that, let's rather introduce our guest of honor.
He's our guest for this occasion because we needed someone to pull up in a mink coat.
Yes.
Pulling a Frank Lucas.
Come
so
on.
All of those tenders that this man has are going to go away after this episode because they're going to be like, what the fuck? Sauce.
They're going to start investigating.
Yo, the mafia of photography and videography in this country, the kingpin, dressed like a kingpin.
Wow,
this man, Rebson, what's happening?
Nothing much.
AKA
guys.
Black Natives.
Black Natives, yeah. Thank you so much, guys, for having me.
If your film production company or photography is not getting any work, it's because
Black Natives is
here. I'm joking, dog.
When I first met Rebson,
yeah,
it was because I'd bump into him at different events. You'd be shooting, like, stuff. Remember, I think you did the Revlon thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You did the Range Rover thing.
There's a lot of things.
Right, but these are like isolated events. That guy again.
Is on
fire. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yes.
I've had the privilege of working with him at an establishment I won't mention.
Mm-hmm. I'll mention it, friend. I also want to do that.
Let's not mention that.
Nah, we cool.
They don't deserve the free airtime.
Airtime's quite expensive.
Clearly, both of you left the establishment under similar circumstances. Like, those fucking haters.
We were able to transform the language in which that place was received.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it did wonders. And all because of this man.
This man with the visuals is pretty dangerous.
Yeah, and I made sure that these guys don't sleep.
Yeah.
When we say real time.
Jesus.
Must vala ngo 5, ngo 7.
Reels must be up.
You know, I lost so many employees because of that.
Mm.
Because they wanted it.
Turnaround
like this.
Time was insane.
The turnaround time was crazy and people were not sleeping at all.
Yeah.
They were like, nah, doc, we can't do this.
Yeah.
And but you understood the vision.
Yeah, definitely.
Because PH is like that, even with Paula.
Mm.
There's a whole office at Paula that is dedicated to you shoot now, you edit now, we post it now.
Yes. Sure.
So if Paula 100%. Opens at 12 by 2 p.m., reels are going up.
100%. Yeah. Now, the problem is PH and I will be the only two who understand the vision.
Yes.
But your employees don't have the same passion as you.
Right.
So
right.
They're like, hey, dog,
big challenge,
I still need
one.
To, you know?
Yeah.
So that was the issue.
Why is it like that in the videography? Because I would say, you know, in my opinion, Rebson, something that stands out is that your work ethic, right?
Yeah.
Bro, I, no matter how many times you try to, I've met thousands of videographers over the years.
Yeah.
Sure.
And no matter how many times you try to point out that one simple thing.
Yeah.
Sure.
Work ethic.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It's like they don't get it.
Yeah.
It's so difficult to find reliable photographers in the scene. Everybody wants to be on.
True.
I don't want to speak for them, and I know this is directed to thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll let you jump in. One thing that I do understand, right, is that a lot of creatives take on a lot of work. Right.
Right.
And that's where work ethic lacks because you've got so much work and your timelines and your deadlines are here, but the work is here. And so you can't deliver to Warwick on time, even though you can.
Yes.
You have the
even though you have the capabilities,
But capacity-wise.
Right. And the result of that is you now seem unreliable.
100%.
Because you can't deliver to Warwick. Me, I don't care what you're doing for PH or what you're doing for Black Natives.
No, but at the same
time... Where's my staff?
Yeah. At the same time, Warren doesn't want to pay the money that we are asking for.
Well, it depends.
You understand? No. So you like, guys, can we do it for this much?
If they're not paying,
yeah,
it's a different matter.
Sure.
But if they've paid you full price,
yeah,
and you are not meeting that target, you know, sure. I understand like what PH is saying to say, you know, guys take on too much work. I get that.
Yeah.
Sometimes a guy, like, again, a guy will be, the whole weekend you'll see this brood.
Yeah.
You go to Durban July, this man is shooting
stories.
Everywhere.
Sure.
And in your mind, you're thinking, okay, what I saw you at three events, two marquees, a brunch there, whatever. And I'm thinking these are five different clients.
Sure.
This shit is going to be done by Friday.
Like
2 weeks later, we see that event that you saw him at posting.
Sure. Yeah.
When the thing is dead, it's pointless posting like some sort of after movie 3 weeks after the fact.
I get you. No, that's why I loved working with Paula, because everything was like real life. Like you're editing right there.
Yeah.
Sure.
So when we are done, everything is done. So a lot of the people that I've worked with, they don't like to do like editing on set and everything like that. But I really like that because I'm like, okay, cool. Once we're done here, we are done.
Yeah. Sure.
We're moving on to another project.
Sure.
And also to speak on taking on a lot of projects, I think also the issue is many photographers and videographers come into this thing as an opportunity for them.
Yeah.
Like, for example, let's say I am a celebrity and I have a boy of mine and I just plug him, yo, my boy, take pictures of me.
Yeah.
Then from there, you start working with PH. You start working with
other now, people. Now you're a photographer.
Yeah, now you're a photographer, right? Yeah. But they don't take it as a profession.
Mm.
So what I always try to do, even with my team, I try by all means to run it as an establishment.
Yeah.
But guys, deadlines are deadlines. We need to take out deadlines at a certain time.
Sure.
Because it doesn't matter. A good example is with the social media things that we are doing, everything needs to be current.
Sure.
Like literally, if they don't post today or if they don't post within this hour, forget about it.
Yeah, then the footage is useless.
It's useless,
One thing I realized that set him apart from other guys that I've worked with, and I think, look, not to take credit with many, there's many production teams out there, small scale, large scale, that I've worked with, right? But I think what the one taking that I took from Black Natives or Rapson was that when there was a brief, it wasn't him who was there.
Mm.
There was a lady. Like there was a separate person taking the brief. Okay, cool. Budget, timelines, what lighting work, everything, right? And then that would be offloaded, or she would manage the traffic and the communication between her and the actual creatives. So invoicing, all of this stuff. And then you would meet the team of creatives.
Yes.
Or then maybe there'd be a rep.
Yes.
They would come do a site recce. I was like, so it's not just some bro saying, yeah, I'll take the work.
Mm.
Okay, cool. There's a call sheet, or there's like a sheet where they would want to populate all this information and then pull up. I was like, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Provision.
Also, I was like, the invoice,
it's gonna now you knew it. Why the chinchillas are chinchillas?
I'm like, okay, that's why this man's got chinchillas, you know? I think his team and his establishment or the structure of the team, delicious.
Yeah.
No, because I believe that creatives, the reason why we are creative, we hated the 9-to-5.
Sure.
We're not good with like time management and stuff like that. But there are other people who are good with that.
Sure.
So we need to partner up with people like that.
Especially stronger than you. Yeah.
Yes. So for us, we have Chloe, who's our project manager, and she's amazing.
Yeah.
So even with me, as like the owner of Black Native, she'll be chasing after me, Uriyo. You haven't done this. You can't take this shoot because of this and this and that.
But
so, yeah.
Where did that start for you, Rapson? Like, when you started in the game, did you study it and then work somewhere? Or did you know a celebrity and then you just needed guest list? But no, Bamba, so boy. Here's the camera.
Issue. No, I actually went to school for it.
Thank you.
I came to Joburg after my matric 2013.
Mm.
Then
where did you matriculate?
Back in Mosina.
Mm.
Can't you see?
Oh, yeah.
I'm joking.
The up north guy. Yeah.
Sure.
Issue. So yeah, graduated in Mosina, came through this side. My father wanted me to do law. I was like, nah.
Ish. Yeah, not for me.
So I had to go and my marks for maths were a bit low. So I had to take like a year to upgrade those marks. Dope. And I did well because I went from like 30% and I went to like 31%.
Nah, nice. That's when I knew. Nah,
it's how you knew that. No, I can
fail upward. Leave it.
Because I mean, fuck Pythagoras, dog. Who uses Pythagoras in this
day? Hey, dog, it takes your ability to think.
Yo, yeah? So the whole year just for 1%.
Hey, honey, you said your ability.
Nah,
to
I
think,
was like, you know what? Because already they had plans for me to go to like Verts and everything.
Yes.
Everything else was nice.
And let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. Your dad was onto something because all of the prosecutors there by Joburg Court are vendor, bro. They're all from up north. Like they own that tender, I'm telling you. Your dad was like, listen, you there's an easy in for
guy.
You. Yeah,
sure, I know a guy. So yeah, after I see you, nah, it's not going to happen. I went to Boston Media House, just down the street.
Because anybody can get in there.
Oh, you, wow. You know, with my 30%, wow. I was like, I'm good.
I'm inside.
Look at Casey.
I'm just joking. Shout out Boston. Sorry, Casey.
Sure. So, went to Boston. But when I went to Boston, I was more interested in the music.
Oh, I thought you were going to say dollies.
I used to lecture at Boston. Too, I was more interested in the dollies myself.
Issue.
Sure.
So, 3 years in Boston, but I went for the music. So I wanted to do. I used to be a rap, you know, raps, and so I used to be.
Okay.
But let's see. Get, you know,
fresh.
Yeah. Could see the whole aesthetic.
Lifestyle.
Yeah. Lifestyle. Plus, there at that club that we won't mention. He was Mr. Ngapa, he was shooting. Ngapa, he was popping.
I'm like, can't do the invoice. Where is it going?
Where is it going?
Sure.
The table only said hands. Nah, like, oh, nah. Rapson, is this you? Shades on, boy. He's just like, yeah, what's up? What's cool? What's
inside.
The cool?
Never, never. Professional.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, when I went to Boston, I'm interested in the music. Then on my second year, bro, like everyone there was like a rapper, like everyone by the corner was having a cypher or something. So I started thinking, you know what? The best way for me to move forward, let me look at one thing that they all need that they don't have.
Right.
Everyone was asking for a music video. I'm like, okay, cool. Let me actually study television because on my third year, you have to choose one.
You got a major in one year.
Yeah. So I chose film production because I wanted to shoot my own music videos. And also I wanted to shoot other people's music video to make money for taxi. Then from there, I fell in love with videography and film production. Did my third year, finished my third year, even though I couldn't pay like the thingy.
The fees
because it was, yes, it was crazy.
It's not cheap, yeah.
So from there, I went and I worked for my first company, which was like crazy. Yeah.
You like shut them out? No?
Yes. It was crazy.
Oh, it was crazy good or crazy bad?
Crazy bad.
Okay. So that's a fuck them and not a shout out?
Yes. So yeah, at that company, I was exploited for like a year and a half.
Yeah. Exploited? Why do you say exploited? In that they weren't paying you what you were worth?
Yeah,
they were underpaying or overworking?
Overworking. In a sense of you would come through here and sit the whole day, you're not doing anything. You're like, okay, cool. Now I want to go home. Then the main guy, the main character comes in and say, yo, Bafit, I have a family gathering. All of you, let's go. You're going to shoot me. So we're focusing on you now. It's not the company situation now. So I think that's where also my work ethic comes from, where when I started my company, because all the people that I worked for, they were like self-centered. They built this thing around just to shoot them. I was like, I don't even want to be in front of the camera.
Yes, I only don't want to be
now.
The celeb.
Only now. Like people, when I meet up with people, they don't know me, but they know Black Native and what Black Native is doing.
That's it. That's how it must be.
Yeah. So only now I'm like, okay, cool. I need to push the brand even more.
Sure.
That's when I'm taking interviews. I'm taking invitations.
Operating
like
chinchillas.
You know what I mean?
Showcase.
You know what I mean?
Because, you've built quite the thing, you know, quite the rapport over the years.
Yes.
Your clients, I don't know if you want to talk about them, but you've got some heavy hitters when it comes to clients. Yes. I mean, I think you Do you currently shoot Zinhle?
Yes, yes, definitely.
Yeah, so, I mean, you shoot what, DJ Zinhle? Who else have you shot?
PH.
PH, you know, and PH, the other people he doesn't want to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, you know? Fuck that, yeah.
So, yeah, we've worked with amazing people. I think we've shot almost everyone. But one of the highlights in the company is when we travel and go shoot outside.
Dubai. Mm. Yeah.
You and did a lot of stuff in Dubai.
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes. So what I love about that is we bring our own style. Mm. Like we don't go that side and start shooting like what Dubai Blues are doing. Yeah. You know? We bring our own style, our own South African flavor. Mm. So when we are that side, we worked with Access Nation, which is owned by Kudzi and Kanye.
Mm.
And we did like a lot of events that side, which was amazing. And we've traveled with a few DJs and did things outside of South Africa.
That when was they touring
well.
That side.
Yes, when they were touring. And that was amazing as well. And also one of the big ones, yeah, the money was good as well. I can still see it.
Sometimes also don't want to pay.
I think you were one of them. But you were nice, bro.
Sure.
But I remember it was like a Friday. I get a call. They're like, "Yo, we have an event on Sunday. We want to do this and this and this and this." It was like a lot of things. I'm like, "Nah, I don't want to do this." But at the same time, it's fine. Let me give them like a ridiculous amount.
Yeah, so that maybe.
Yeah, I thought of an amount. Then I'm like, okay, let me double that amount.
Crazy.
I doubled it. I sent them. On Saturday morning, they call me. They're like, "We have the money. Let's go." I'm like, "Oh." So now I have to
put together. <you know? laughs>
So that was the first time I worked with them. The second time I worked with them, they were going to the FIFA World Cup in Qatar.
Yeah.
And they called me over, which is Hyundai. They called me over. They're like, "Yo, we want to do something." And that's where I met Boshabalala and all of the guys that were there. And it was just an amazing experience.
Yeah.
Dope.
Yeah. And that's big stuff, though. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's not small stuff. No.
Yeah.
Sure.
But do you still take the small stuff? Is there stuff that you like passionate about that you
definitely,
still do?
Definitely, definitely. Mm. I take small stuff. I also do like passion projects.
Yeah.
For example, with Ndu, my brother Awaki.
Yes.
I hit him up. We were nominated for an award. I hit him up. I'm like, "Yo, I want a suit." He's like, "No, don't worry. Come through. I'll do it for free. You just have to post pictures."
Yeah, and she is dope. House of Ndu, suitability.
This was like 3 years back.
Mm.
And from there, we formed a relationship. Right now, there is concepts that I come up with. And I give him the concept. I'm like, "Yo, let's do this."
Mm.
He comes up with the attires and the clothing and everything.
Mm. Yes.
Then we go and we shoot, right? At the same time, with the small projects, I remember growing up in the streets of Mosina.
Mm.
Extremely hungry.
No grass.
No grass.
There's no grass there, dusty. Boss. Have you been there?
No. you need to go there.
Went to Mosina. I went to Lipalale.
Yes. Bro. It's the place to be.
No, my nigga, you made it.
That place
is hot, boss.
And literally, you know, figuratively, yeah. It's burning. It's like 40 degrees, 50 degrees.
46 degrees.
Yeah, it's bad.
I remember it's like they'll say 46 degrees, but feels like 60.
60.
Jump out the car.
It's
a geese. Back inside.
No, when we came from school, we used to run from tree shade to tree shade. Mm. Like, you will run from this shade, run to that one, stop for like 5 minutes, run to that one, stop for like 5 minutes.
That's crazy.
It was bad, bro.
Yeah.
So, yeah, growing up in Mosina without anything, like, you know, my father was a gardener. My mom was, she had a spaza, you know. So I don't see anything as small amount.
Yes.
If you call me and you're like, "Yo, I have 500.
Yeah.
In my head, I'm like, my dad was earning 1,000.
Yeah.
And we had a family of 7 people, you know? So
you've got 5 siblings.
Yeah, 5 siblings. So with 1,000, he was feeding 7 people.
Yes.
if you tell me you have 500, for me, I'm like, I'll make it work somewhere, somehow, you know?
Sure.
So, yeah, definitely.
Doesn't mean call me for 500 rand.
No, I hope not. Because I tried to call him for 3,000, he told me to fuck off. But the calendar, but you're always busy. You're always working.
Yeah, always cooking. Yeah.
Which is, it's a blessing and a curse at the same time.
Mm.
Like what PH was saying, that you get to a point where you don't have a personal life.
Mm,
like with me, I have my schedule is literally wake up at 3 in the morning, work up until everyone gets to the office around 10.
Mm.
Then maybe we'll have a few shoots here and then come back to the office maybe 5 and everyone knocks off at 5.
Mm.
I take a shower, relax, maybe take a nap from 10 to 12.
Mm.
From 10 to 3.
Mm.
Then 3, I wake up again and do it again.
Mm.
So literally from 10 to 3, that's the only time
I can sleep. Yeah.
Yeah. And if I sleep past that time, I feel so bad. Like, I feel so lazy. Like, bro, like, what the hell is
and
wrong?
What do you do now as CEO? Are you still involved in, like, the little things in the business? Because I know, I mean, the last time I saw you shooting, like, Rapson is on the scene.
Sure.
Someone else is holding the camera.
Yeah.
Someone is holding the lights.
Sure.
But he's there, like, DOP vibe.
Yeah. Ah, but you're also
and then
shoot.
He looks and then he's like, you take the camera away from that dude. And he'll be like, do it like this. You know what I mean?
Like a boss.
No, the issue, there's times where I implemented different strategies, right? Mm. I remember when I started the company, it was just me and Chloe. And literally, I was shooting, lighting,
editing,
photography, videography, everything. Then I got people to come in and assist. I had like over 15 employees who were shooting. But the problem with that is when PH contact me, he wants that reps in touch.
Yeah.
Right?
And now
I send Sipo. When Sipo gets there, like what we said, Sipo is not as passionate as Rapson.
Mm.
Mm.
Sipo is shooting PH, but there's a little bit of a fluff there.
Mm.
And he's not telling PH, Rio talk, just remove it, you know? Even with the edits, when Sipo goes and edit, he's looking at the timer, around 5, I need to be out.
Mm. Yeah.
And this thing is needed by today. So which means I have an hour to finish
this
thing.
It's a rush job. Mm.
You know? So, and also I've seen with the people that I worked for, there was one videographer that I worked for before I started my own thing, who stopped shooting.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with that is you get out of touch. Mm-hmm. There's new things, there's AI, there's this, there's that. So I made it a competition in my office. I make it a competition. There's no one who's better than me. Not because I'm the boss, but because if I see that your video is hot, I'm going to go learn what you did there. And that's I'm going to go learn other things.
Mm.
Literally, I give you, when we are editing, I would give you maybe an hour or 2 hours.
Mm.
You'll drop a video and everyone in the office is like, yo, Bernard, your video is hot, right? I'm editing something. I'm like, all right, it's hot, but
yeah,
wait.
It's on now.
Wait. Then when I drop something, I'll send it to the group. Then they also have to judge. Sure. It's not. It doesn't have to be, because Rapson is the boss, all his videos are hot. No. When I see Rocky, your video is like next level. I need to level up. So I don't believe in ever stopping. Maybe once I have like an office like this and, you know, things are going well, maybe I'll be in the at the back just directing.
Mm.
But for now,
the passion is still there.
The passion is there, and
passion
I need it.
Still there, yeah.
I need to shoot.
What's it like finding talented people?
Yes.
That don't get drunk.
Yes.
And that's the biggest challenge.
They mustn't be inside the bottle. They're not trying to get guest list everywhere. They're not trying to come to work with five people.
Sure.
Have you ever had like a videographer like, no, meet me there at 10? Then they're like, hey, I'm coming with Mangma.
You know what I've always tried to instill with the guys that I work with? And I think shout out to all the guys that I've worked with who now have, you know, great businesses or have created dope platforms. The one thing I'm like, hey, my brother, sit here. Ne? Here's what's not going to happen. Mm. It looks nice on the road, but I'm going to teach you, you know, time management.
Yes.
We arrive at a certain time. Yes. What does the client want? One, two, you know, we go through the business ethics or the the foundation the of ethos, things, you know. Yes. So where it's like, mfana, I rider asipuz lana, you know. 100%. There's no drinking off that. So we're gonna get all these nice things, but we're gonna fuck off after we're done working because. Yes. I want my edit, like Rapson said, me, I want my edit at 10 a.m. And I don't want first draft. And I will tell you, this is what I want. Or I'll even go to, we'll go to inside, because I've got knowledge of like the space. It's like, hey, bro, the lighting is like this. You're going to require this. Maybe rent this out for the weekend.
Yes.
We're going to need sound like this, blah, blah, blah. And I think one thing where they've come in thinking, hey, they're superstars, which they were in their own right, or the mentality was superstars. But at the end, they are like professional, proper guys where... they've gone off to start their own agencies. But it's a thing of like, they were rock stars. They liked the dollies. They liked the liquor.
Yeah. They liked the nice
We're
times.
Playing at this festival. Yeah. We're playing at this. Yeah. Inside. Yeah. Like, hey,
sure. Pull a kick down and go.
Yeah. You know? So that's the same ethics that I install in my guys.
Sure. Mm.
Because what happens is, what I always tell them is that we are in this life, but we are not of this life.
Oh. Mm.
So we literally need to be like flies on the wall.
Sure.
You know? Sure. When PH is popping bottles and he's saying, everyone take a shot, he's not talking to you. You're putting the camera down. Now you missed that shot because you were taking a shot.
Now we come at us like this. Now you're getting a shot.
Nah, so
let's take a shot. Yeah.
So I had to let a few people go. I had to let a few people go because it's not, also it's not safe. For the equipment.
Sure.
I have a guy who was working at that other club that we were working at. After I let him go, every second week he was calling me, yo, dog, didn't anyone call you? I misplaced my camera. At that, I'm like, dog, you don't do that.
Mm.
So what I always believe, even when if you book me to come shoot you, we have a uniform. I'm not gonna be coming with a mink and stuff like that.
Mean?
You know what I mean? So when I come through, we need to be like you're not supposed to see us, but we need to get all the shots, right? Because the other thing is videographers and photographers who are trying to compete with the client. Now PH is taking a selfie, you are taking a selfie this side. It doesn't make sense. Like, you need to know your roles. So, okay, cool. Once I'm at work, I'm at work. It's not, we're not friends. I'm not out there dancing with Zintle and stuff like that. I try by all means to give her her space, do her thing, because she's also at work when she's DJing, you know? So, yeah, definitely. I think that's the one thing that we need to install in all videographers and photographers. Yeah.
Yeah. We are in this world, but we are not of this world.
Fully. Now, speaking of that, and of that about that line, there's a is it a myth or
a theory? A myth.
Theory, myth. Yeah. You know that you guys, hey, rocket clients.
Yeah.
Now I know you are a married man. So
it's a theory. It's a theory.
So I mean, yeah, because there's proximity between you and clients, you know.
The theory is, you know, like when people say, "Come do the job for exposure," right? So in the same way, it's like, "Hey, let me shoot you for free," right? Or hands are like, "Hey, I need someone to shoot me, but I don't have budget."
So it's exposure.
It's exposure. It's transactional.
Exposing both sides.
Hey,
yeah.
There's tons of exposure on the camera and other exposure.
Overexposure.
No, man. And I think I don't like the topic, but it always comes up.
We can jump in it.
It always comes up. It's just like, why is that the case? Or is it a story that happens here and there for the lucky few?
Let's not say the lucky few.
I would say,
is it a story that happens because there's a lot of chance takers? It's like a lot of guys are not videographers, bro.
Definitely.
They're just a guy with a camera who happens to be in that crew.
Yes.
Sure.
And then they take advantage of that. Say, I can come and shoot you anytime. Show me something.
Sure. Yeah, so I believe there's chance takers in both sides, right? There are women as well who are like opportunist or okay, cool, I can hit up Rapson and I can flirt with him and maybe I'm not gonna pay, right? And there's also niggas who are like there because they love the lifestyle. Sure. And now they're like, oh, I'm fine, I'm shooting with this girl, she was showing me her bombs and stuff like that. For me, lucky enough,
you married
before I came into the game, Before I even started my company, I met someone who I really fell in love with.
Mm-hmm.
And that person, for me, I wouldn't change them for the world because they literally supported me.
On before, the come up.
Yeah, nice. Before anything. Before the cars, before the mink, before anything.
Mm.
She was there. So I have to respect her in that sense.
Sure.
When I get everything, I still need to pour back to her.
Mm.
So if I am to be in a scandal or I was busy with this one and this one and this one.
It's a lie.
You're pissing also at this, all the work that yeah, has been
done.
Just
make campaign.
It really messed up. It's AI. It really messes up with the AI. Money. It messes up with the money.
Yeah.
Because you can't, it's either business or pleasure.
Mm.
Sure.
You can't mix the two.
The two, yeah.
Can't piss where you eat, man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because once you mix for this one person, that person is going to tell their friend, no, man, just tell him what it is.
Yes.
Now you are shooting 15 people within 3 days.
Favors.
And you don't even have money for petrol.
Yes.
And your girl is asking you, yo, dog, what's going on? You know? Mm. So for me, it was never that situation.
Mm.
Yeah.
What's fucking up the game, in your opinion? Because I'll tell you, for example, in this life of DJing,
mm-hmm.
there are DJs and then everyone is a DJ.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Do you see something similar in your game where
definitely.
Like everyone is now a video?
Definitely.
Sure.
Definitely. Yeah. The issue is like once people see okay, I think there's chow there, there's bread somewhere.
Sure. Mm.
Everyone flocks
jumps.
In,
mm. yeah.
Right? And there is a question that you asked about like people who are really good at what they are doing that have worked with me, mm. right? The issue with that is even the guys who are like really good. They come in to take notes. Okay, you're using 3 lights, you're using this, you're using that.
Mm.
Then in their head, they're like, nah, but I can do this.
Yes.
Mm. Then because I have Waras as a client, they're like, let me call PH. I'm sure PH. Then
PH can talk to Waras for me, yeah.
Yeah, and literally, I've had people who tag me, or yo, your company is doing amazing things. I'm like, that's not my video.
That's not my, mm. yeah.
I didn't do that. Because people who worked for me or who are not even working for me, went with my profile and said, yo, we can do this for you.
Okay, yo.
Yeah, so
yeah, that's tricky.
What's fucking up the game is a lot of people are becoming photographers and videographers.
Yes.
A lot of people, and you can see the problems that they have.
And the edits.
Yeah, and also the client don't want to pay. So if my boy is here and my boy has been taking nice pictures with his iPhone, sure. let me give him a camera. He will figure it out, mm-hmm. you know. So yeah, that's what messing up the game.
Cheap is not necessarily the best.
True.
Yeah. No, it is, and you know, like when it comes to, I think anything creative, mm-hmm. besides cheap not being the best, if you really want your vision to come to life, you throw everything at it. You know? And then at least if it doesn't work, you can say, yeah, I tried my best.
100%.
You know? Whereas when it's like, fuck. Maybe PH and his Osmo was not the best. Because PH saw that there's bread in your game.
Yeah.
Did you see he's walking around with the GoPro
now?
No, but
he's going to be streaming now. The next level is streaming.
What up, Chad?
Yo, what's going on, Chad? So this is Waras, my boy.
Nah, give him Dala for now.
What up, Chad?
Nah, I'm good. Is no, you? But I've always just loved, I've always been passionate about cameras and camera. I think maybe in my maybe you can attest to this, I don't know, but in my briefing, I think I'm usually better than a lot of guys and be like, hey, you really know your cameras or you know your lenses? Because it comes to I will know my way around lenses, I'll know my way around which cameras to use,
the
audio.
Lighting.
So you know.
If I could duplicate myself, that's what I'd do.
Yeah.
Same here.
I would do what I'm doing and I would shoot myself.
Sure. If I could, I'd definitely.
You know what I mean? I love it, dude. I'm like
yeah,
I enjoy it.
Yes.
You know me.
Yeah,
that's my thing. You know, it's my spare time move.
If I could duplicate myself, I'll be on all cameras. So I love being behind the camera.
Yes.
Right. So my issue, I always tell my team, we ask each other, if you could have a superpower, what would be your superpower? I'm like, my superpower is either duplicating myself or if I can pause time where I can shoot everything.
And set up
home,
each shot. Yeah.
Pause the time. Edit, finish, like edit, because there are some things that, because the deadline is at 10, I will send you at 8, you will think it looks amazing, but when I look at it, I'm like, ish, I could so have much done more this and done. This and yeah. then, you know. So definitely, if I could duplicate myself, I would do all the jobs behind yeah. the scenes.
Is it ever really perfect, though? You know, like when you...
I don't think it is ever perfect yeah. because there are videos that you thought were perfect yesterday. When you look at them now, you're like, ish, I missed that
frame. I could have done this differently. Yeah.
Sure. So, quick one. I know we obviously spoke about, you know, a lot of people coming into the game.
Yes.
But if you were to give advice to guys coming into the game, what are your like 3-4 things, or maybe list 5 things that you absolutely must do, you know, whether you want to run a business mm-hmm. like yours mm-hmm. or if you're passionate about the camera and you have, you know, basic knowledge about yeah. about cameras mm-hmm. well, into the space. Yeah.
I would say don't do it because guys, there's too much of us now.
Everywhere too many people now.
Everywhere I go, like, artists are coming. Each and every artist have their own videographer and photographer and the lighting guy, which we started.
Sure.
You know, before us, no one was doing
was looking at those details. Yeah.
You know, then there's like 5 artists. All those artists have their entourage. Then the venue itself has a videographer and a photographer. Mm. Then there is someone else who's an influencer. So it's too much.
Then the brand that's sponsoring the brand place has got their own guy. Yes.
So that means there's a lot of business, though.
There is. If you know what you're doing. Yeah. But the advice that I can give is that...
don't do it.
Well, it's nice that there's a lot of business, but it's almost like it devalues the product. Because now, if there's enough options, I'm not going to pay Repson the 5. Quality. I'm going to say, Nang PH, come through, you know?
With the Osmo.
Then the thing is shit. But it's like, because you're the one who made the call, because brands do this, and bosses do this, they don't have the vision. They need you to come with the vision.
True.
But they think your vision is too expensive.
Yes.
So they go with the cheaper vision.
Yes.
And because it was my call and I made the decision, I've seen it so many times.
Yeah.
The person who made the call will defend that call, even when it's a cut call.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh, this is dope, dog. And then you're like, nah, this is whack.
Nah,
you know? But you can't say that it's whack because then they're going to be like, but how did it end up being whack?
Exactly.
You're the one who slashed the budget by half.
Exactly. So the advice that I will give is that, one, we are of this world, but we are not of this world.
Yes, power.
We do not belong in this world, rather. So separate yourself from your clients. Let them have their life. This is their life that they worked hard for.
Sure.
Don't try and gain clout and jump on their shoulders. Sure. Secondly, people always open opportunities for people who are working hard. So don't go there and try to impose yourself. Okay, cool. Now that I'm working with PH, can I shoot the next Paula? Can I do this? Can I do it? Nah. If you work hard enough, he's going to notice you. Then once you build the relationship, that's when you can come up with those ideas that you have.
Mm.
You can't come through and within the first day, you're like, PH, you know, this whole setup is not the right one.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, change this camera, do this. Nah. Know your place, basically. Sure. That's your what place, I'm trying to
bro.
Say.
Sure. Sure.
So, and the third thing is just, if you're not ready to, like, work overtime, don't sleep, don't have a social life
yeah.
for, like, 3 years, then don't do it. If you want to be the one who's in front of the camera.
Sure.
Within the 3 years, then don't do it. Because the problem becomes when you think you are bigger than your client.
Mm,
and when that client who has 500 is calling you, you're like, hey, look at this one. Not knowing that same client will be sitting with Johnny Walker tomorrow.
Sure.
Yeah.
And they can talk about you. Yo, this guy is actually good at what he's doing. Because you shot them for 500.
Mm.
Now you can go to Johnny Walker and charge 500,000.
Sure.
So
love it. Okay, I've got a few questions for you.
Yes, sir.
And I want to call it quick fire, but just what do you prefer? iPhone or DSLR?
DSLR.
Shooting a wedding or shooting a music video?
Music video, nah, no, fuck weddings.
But isn't there more money in weddings?
Hi, dog, it's stressful. Editing for 6 months. Someone will be calling you and saying, yo, dog, I shot this thing 6 months ago, bro.
Okay, tell me, editing with Amapiano playing in the background or editing in silence?
I'm a piano playing in the background.
Okay, cool. Premiere Pro or DaVinci?
DaVinci.
Premiere Pro.
Yeah.
Premiere Pro.
Because I like their whole suit.
Yeah.
Like I can literally, when I work.
You can go from After Effects to.
I have everything opened up. Like I have Illustrator, I have Photoshop, I have.
Sure.
I have so many things opened up that if I am to switch from Premiere Pro to DaVinci, I have to switch the whole
entire thing.
Yeah. So the setup on its own, I fell in love with it. And I believe also, it all has to do with the skill, not the tools.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like there is someone who's editing on CapCut.
On CapCut, bro.
And they are killing it.
Yeah,
you know?
True.
So yeah.
What's the wildest or weirdest thing that you've had to film?
OnlyFans. Tell us.
Have you shot OnlyFans? Content.
Nah. But I've shot content that
X-rated.
Yeah.
Really?
You shot the Boko Jobejani.
There's hectic shots where, like, even the client is like, "Yo, Reps, and I want you to shoot it, and I want you to edit it, so that they know, okay, if it's late,
it's you. Okay.
So literally, yeah. I've had clients who, you know, not to give the other story that we just spoke about, some fumes, but there were clients who. They would take everyone out of the room because they are not comfortable with everyone. And they're like, "Nah, Reps, and I just want to shoot with you."
That's good.
Yeah.
Good. Why? Were they shooting X-rated stuff?
Or? No. Just
comfortability of
privacy.
Yeah. Because also, if I am to tell you the story of how I started the company.
Well, we've got enough time. Carry on. Yeah.
Shooting porn.
Sondeza.com, eh?
Sondeza,
yeah.
Dog.
Sure.
Shout out Sondeza, dogs. We are trained for the first time ever in my life. I love Sondeza.
Yeah. I don't know what Sondeza is.
Good.
I don't
know.
Carry
good.
On,
good.
Carry on. Carry on. Carry on.
A lot of minks there.
Sure.
So, I'm working for this brewer, maybe 3 years after leaving film school. I'm working for this brewer. And there is a client. This client is one of those clients who are not happy with everyone.
Sure.
Right? The owner of the company goes to shoot the client. She's not happy. And she's doing photography. I'm a videographer.
Sure.
So the owner goes shoot. She's not happy. She goes to the photographer of the in-house photographer. Sure. She's not happy. They called people from outside. Mm. Yo, come through to shoot this lady. She's not happy at all. Mm. And on my birthday, I just so happened to stay like a few minutes away from thing, like a walking distance from the studio. On my birthday, she's doing a shoot, but the guy doesn't want to shoot her. He stays next door. He locks himself up and he's like,
wow.
He calls me. He's like, "Yo, Rebs and Doc, please go shoot this lady." I'm like, "Doc, but she wants photography, miss. You know me. I'm a cinematographer." Mm. He's like, "Nah, go shoot this lady." I'm like, "All right, fine." I vibe there. I go shoot the hand. Shoot. She's comfortable. She's happy. When we send her the content, she's so happy that for the next 6 months, when she calls to book, she's like, "Yo, is Repson available?"
Dope.
"Yeah, Repson is available." "Okay, cool. I want to book." Then 6 months later, this lady's like, "Yo, dog, me, I'm vying. They're relocating to Portugal. I'm going to stay there." I'm like, "All right.
Lovely working with you. Thank you."
"Yeah, thank you so much for everything." She's like, "All right, cool. Let's do one last shoot." When we do the one last shoot, we all vie there, even the owner of the business. We do a shoot. She loves it. We come back to the office. She calls again. She's like, "Nah, one last one." This guy's like, "All right, dog, you vie."
Yeah.
Handle business there. So when I vie there, we shoot. On our way back, she's like, "Oh, let me drop you off." On our way back, she's like, "Yo, dog, do you want to do this for the rest of your life or do you want to start your own thing?"
Mm. She's like, the fire inside you.
Mm. I'm like, "To be honest, I want to start my own thing, but this thing is expensive, dog." Mm. She's like, "How much do you need?" I'm like, "Ish, dog, to get all the equipment, maybe we might like 200,000 back then.
Even more, maybe,
just for starter, you know?" Then she's like, "All right, cool." She let me vibe. The following day, she calls me. She's like, "Yo, I have 200,000 for you."
What?
And it's not a loan. I have a 200,000 for you to go buy your stuff and start your own thing.
Oh, you know, God bless you, man.
Because your work is amazing, and I feel like where you are right now, a lot of people will benefit more if you have your own company.
Yes,
sure.
I'm like, proper. We go buy the equipment.
What did you buy? What is the first camera you bought? A7S III.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. What a case.
A7S III.
Yeah.
That's, well, when he said 200, you know. I was thinking, A7S III, lenses, lights, you're done.
You're good.
Especially if you're talented.
Yeah. So I got that camera. I got gimbal. I got lights and blah, blah, blah. Take it to her place. Because I was still staying at like our one bedroom.
Mm.
So I take it to her place. The following day, she's expecting me to be at her place. But I'm at work.
Yeah.
So she calls me. She's like, yo, what's going on? I'm like, no, let me just finish up here. Then I'm going to pull up. She's like, nah.
No, nigga, leave that place.
Leave that place, yeah. I'm like, she's like, okay, cool. I know what your problem is. Your problem is that if you leave right now, you might not make enough for rent and this and that. So give me your account. I'm going to send 10K.
What?
Yeah.
That's your salary for this month.
You can then figure yourself out. Then from there,
you will figure yourself out. Dog, I left that place same time. I think it was the 17th. On the 30th, I've made triple what my salary was on the other side.
In 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So from there, that's when I knew, okay, this is something I need to do. Then, as she was leaving for Portugal, she has a beautiful house in Madrid, Karlswald, huge house. She's like, yo, I'm leaving, so you can use this as your studio and office.
No fucking ways.
I'm like, what?
You were chowing her.
Yeah, I was waiting for him to say, I'm like,
part of the story to say.
This one.
Yeah.
Nah, but then she said to me,
come and lie down here.
Come, my boy.
Baby oil.
She was just a nice person. So, used her place for like a year straight.
That is crazy, man.
Everything that we ever needed was in the place. Like, she had a helper, she had everything. We just coming in, use it as an office.
Yeah, use it as a studio because now it's dope to shoot in as well. You know?
And I gave a percentage of
the business.
Then I think after a year or two, she calls me. She's like, man, I feel like you can do even bigger things if I'm not in the business.
Sure.
So I'm going to give you the shares back, run with it. And from there, that's when I knew God was watching over me.
Yeah.
Because that lady, bro, she came from nowhere.
Hey, bruh.
That running
from... Well, so did you. You came from Musina.
Yeah, from that nowhere. That running from tree to tree. It paid.
Definitely. Yo,
God bless that lady, man. God bless her and all the efforts, you know.
Yeah, what a beautiful story, bro.
To be honest, every time I tell the story, people think it's like a white lady, a rich white lady. And it's not, bro. Like, it's a Zulu lady. Her name is Vuyelwa Mtlalosi.
Yeah.
So,
shout out Vuyelwa.
Sis V, shout out to you. Yeah.
Just the plug.
I was going to ask you a question, but I think you've answered it already because I was going to say Sony or Nikon.
Sony. All the way. Nikon, what?
No, wildlife.
Some guys
are like, Canon.
What about Canon? No.
Okay, Canon maybe. Maybe, you know.
A Nikon sing fire.
A Nikon never, dog. Canon maybe like, I don't drink, but when I have a hangover sometime. And I don't have my equipment with me and someone is like. I can use that one. Yeah, I can use that one.
Okay, cool.
But Sony all the way.
Bro, your story is amazing. Thank you so much. Shout out to you, man, and shout out to Vuyelwa. And may you bless, you know, some other kid out there.
Yeah, man, may you put someone on. Well, I'm sure you've put so many people on.
Yeah.
I hope they receive it well, you know, like on your advice to young photographers, videographers.
Sure.
It's an honor to work with somebody like Rapson.
Yes.
And I think it's always, you know, PH and I have been here for many years. It's such a fuck up when you like put people on because you like, you can be the one.
True.
And then they're like, fuck it up.
Fuck it up.
Or do some dumb shit, like go to the clients and say, no, I can do this thing.
Yeah,
try to steal the clients.
Yeah,
it's like,
happens.
Oh, why?
Hey, that's fucked up.
But yeah, you are a guest of our show, and I think you are well informed.
It's co-host time now.
It's good. Now you're a co-host of the show. A lot has been happening. A lot has happened this weekend, just from a sporting front, also political. I think maybe let's start with the political, then we'll get into the sporting.
The president, yeah.
Another fucking
Cyril's address. Did you watch it?
Brother, I was in between.
Oh, you were at Wimbledon.
You know?
Come on, you
South African problems.
But I didn't watch it either, right?
I'm joking.
But
yeah.
I, the one clip I saw.
Sure.
Honestly, our president looks like a defeated man.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I get it because that is such a... But regardless of what he said during that press conference thing, his address, sure, people were going to be like, ah, Fusek. Yeah. They were like, say something, say something.
Sure.
Then he said something and basically it was, ah, Fusek.
Sure.
Was the overwhelming. Some people were like, okay, shout out to the president. Well done, he addressed it.
Sure.
But he didn't... You know, there's like... I don't want to compare presidents, sure, right? And I'm not comparing our president with any other president. But there's a way that presidents address situations. Yes. Yes. You'll never see Putin come out and you'll have any inkling that they're losing the war with Ukraine.
100%.
Mm. That nigga lands, he does his little walk, and then he comes and he says, today we hit the Eastern Front.
Mm.
Yeah. Zakala.
Yeah.
It's the last warning. Because when we come for the Western Front, you're going to shit.
Sure.
Thanks, we're out. Anyway, here's some Russian ballet dancers.
Sure.
And then he rolls, you know?
Yeah. Sure.
When Trump addresses something, he's like, we hit him so hard. We hit him so
even
hard.
Even if it wasn't the case.
Even,
true.
We don't know. That whole bunker thing is underground. So actually, they didn't show us photos that the underground was destroyed.
Sure.
But he's like, yeah, we hit them so hard. It'll take them years. Some are saying... 30 years.
Yeah.
I think more like 50.
Yeah.
Because they try anything now, we'll hit them so hard.
Yeah.
We'll and over-exaggerate.
And we've signed
but
deals.
It works
we've
because for his people, for his people, they like, that's our fucking guy.
Sure.
You know?
True.
And me, I was expecting to see, well, I was hoping to see that. Not that I've ever seen it. But I feel like it was a moment to come out and say, yo, these allegations are fucking serious. So right now, cats are on the way to arrest everybody.
Yeah.
We'll and then we'll see.
After. You know what the sad thing is? And I think I'm going to echo a lot of the things that I've obviously, you know, consumed between the speech and now, is the one thing that was most consistent is like another commission of inquiry. One, right?
We
and sadly,
those.
All of the other commissions have not proven any results that are, you know, positive. Mm. You know, it's question marks.
Or any results that
have led to arrests.
Have led to arrests, or addressed
and
any of the allegations that came up.
True.
Yeah.
Sure.
And we've wasted so much money.
State resources,
Like, for my biggest issue is, if there were results in the other commissions,
then by
that
all
we
means.
Can point at and say, okay, at least, we found the culprits on this other one.
Sure. During state capture, Mang is in jail.
Zondo Commission.
Yes.
It came and it went.
Sure.
There's
and it cost
happening.
A billion rand.
Sure. Yes.
No one's in jail.
So that's the problem is that, you know, it's like, brother, you're talking about ministers and you're talking about head of the country's security, bro.
Mm,
you know?
That's it. Dog.
And there you have a commissioner saying, my brother, there's no time for...
Yes.
I'm a person of the state who are saying, here's hard evidence.
Yeah. Yes.
Now you
dude, he wasn't even saying, here's hard... He was saying... I have the WhatsApps.
Yes.
He wasn't saying, hey, one brood of mine reps and said he got WhatsApp.
Yeah,
he's like, I've got the nudes on my phone.
Yeah.
This thing's a whole.
Yeah.
And you are arguing.
So now we're trying to figure out what does, you know, this leave look like for this guy? What did he call? Because apparently before the president spoke, they said that he asked to be on special leave.
Senzom Kunu.
Yes, but now...
Which is also like...
Because it's like, how the fuck do you ask to be on special leave? Are you high?
And
you
what know? Is special leave? Because special leave essentially means I'm going to sit
like?
At home, I'm going to continue to get paid for 6 months and not work.
Mm.
Like, what the fuck?
Mm. What's the point of having a deputy in this particular instance? Because now apparently they have to find another person to fill that role while this guy's on special leave.
Yes, like a stand-in. Yes.
That's another, you know, fuck up. And then I think the biggest thing is because I was reading, some of the comrades are commenting in some of the WhatsApp groups saying, but the ministers can be arrested like normal people. They don't have
The president as commander in chief.
Yes,
has the right to fire whoever he wants.
Mm. Yes,
and I think from a timing perspective, it's a fuck up. I did see the DA pointing it out. Now I'm not the biggest fan of the DA, but it's one of those moments where, you know, in the court of public opinion, you can't fault what's being said in terms of he fired that other bra DA bra Whitfield or whatever his name was.
Went to America, no?
He went on an overseas trip.
Sure.
Mm. He'd written a letter requesting permission. The letter was ignored.
Sure.
But then he went anyway.
Mm.
The president comes back, finds out he went, fires him because he has the right to fire any cab. Sure. Now it's like, you fired this guy for taking a flight.
Mm. Sure.
Okay? Here is a guy that could be fucking head of the cartel.
Yes. Sure.
You know? And you place him on special leave. It is a double standard.
Nah.
And how do you address that? Mm. And that's why I say, like, anything that he said in his address was going to catch fire. Because, hey, guys, we often forget that we're dealing with a president, and this is just factual, dealing with a president that had millions of dollars in his couch. That shit has not been addressed. The man's bank statements during CR17 were shielded. They redacted his bank statements or whatever. Sure. He's never had to make them public.
Mm.
That is like red flag city. And then some fucking Dubai guy comes and says, oh, I'm the one who bought the cows. Who the fuck are you, bro? Sure. Just shut up.
Sure.
They did such a poor job of addressing all of these previous things that it's like, hey, you might not be the best guy to be handling this situation.
Yeah.
In fact, no one in government is the best guy. Sure. That's the thing.
Sure.
And I think, again, to touch on what you said about public opinion, I think the public is yearning for something that champions or speaks to their needs or their outcries. It's just like, man, every single time something of this magnitude happens, we, the country, are failed.
You
know, to pay for it.
Not even. It's like there's no positive results that end up in arrest.
Yes.
But here we are.
So from a credibility perspective, they've got none.
True.
It's like this. I don't expect anything to come of it. This thing will fade out of the media cycle.
Sure.
And then in 6 months' time, it's going to be like
they
whatever.
They
would
renew Kwanazi's contract. We've heard the song and seen this movie one too many times. Mm. And I think that's the sad part, considering the deteriorating state of the country and a lot of the things that are deteriorating. Look, there's obviously great positivity that, you know, government and some of these institutions do. But the sad part and the overarching commentary is that there's never anything positive for, you know, that benefits
and
the country.
And this is a department where we can't afford to fuck around. It's safety, it's our intelligence.
Sure.
This one is, you know what I mean? This one is
and
this
for
one
that
is bad,
to be
bro.
Captured.
Yeah.
Mm.
There's a video clip we have of I think she's a member of not PA, she's a member of
Action
SA.
Yeah.
Please roll that clip, Wandy.
Let's get reaction now from Action SA's MP, Darylene James. Good evening to you, Darylene. Tell us what you made of the president's speech.
I didn't make anything of it. It's like President Cyril Ramaphosa was listening to our predictions all week, where we said we are predicting him to say a special task team will be put together. He said exactly that. We predicted him to say that a commission of inquiry will be launched, and he said exactly that. What the president has basically told us, he has said to us that we will have 6 more months of heightened and amplified crime, 6 more months of drug dealing and drug trafficking in our communities. The president hasn't said anything. We have a Zondo commission that has been gathering dust as a result of these marching orders that the president has given previously. South Africans are frustrated. It is now time for South Africans to dig deep and realize their voices and their powers in terms of the people shall govern and take up their constitutional right. They must hear us now and they must feel us. What the president has told South Africans, we knew. He took half of his speech and he told us, he repeated what General Mkwanazi has told us last week, Sunday. Thank you so much for that repeat. I want to actually highlight something I see all over on social media. We are saying that the president has suspended the minister. The president did not suspend the minister. It was the president has placed the minister on a leave of absence. The president does not have the backbone to put South Africans first. Despite the fact that this very minister appeared before a portfolio committee and said that he was not aware, he did not know any of these cronies that was highlighted and mentioned by General Mkhwanazi. Weeks later, we have WhatsApp messages, we have paperwork, we have a paper trail that directly links the minister, and we're saying all of that only warrants a leave of absence. It is disappointing.
That's
and let me tell you something. Like, if you're gonna be told shit, you wanna be told shit by a colored auntie. because they've got a skill in telling shit. Like, you know, you can just see this one is like, we're not going to take this nonsense. Rapson was commenting on the fact that the green screen is terrible and there's a reflection in our closet. Bad videography, Zach.
But what she's saying, man, I think it's echoing what the entire country and what we just spoke about as well now, where it's just like, brother, come on.
Come on. Yeah. Come on. And like what you said, you see this whole 6 months thing. When Mkhwanazi outlined these allegations, he didn't say, we have reason to believe Uguti. Mm. He said, I've got WhatsApps from some brute named Brown. That's telling me, yo, don't worry, that move is covered. I have WhatsApps from the other guy telling me that unit that was investigating me, we've disbanded that unit. Like, this is like caught red-handed type of stuff. The evidence is already there. Mkhwanazi already has the information. And as PH said, he's not Umafikizolo Sibanibani. He's a commissioner of police. You understand what I'm saying? He's a general. He's got a rank. He deserves to be listened to. I don't see why we need 6 months to go through WhatsApp messages that we have in hand now. And what would be, what the country would benefit from is if there was some kind of immediate action. In the week between coming home from the BRICS summit and now and last night, he could have met with Mkhwanazi at his house and said, Xavier, what's the story?
What's
I know, praise. Now, I'm on WhatsApp.
Okay,
I'll just born. I got a number. I 076 ban ban. PH. You understand? There's no hiding it. I got a number. No, brown. Sharp.
And how
no
is it
problem.
Linked to this and this and this and that?
Let's expedite. Quickly, we open a case here at Sandton Police Station. In the address, he's addressing the fact that we've already arrested one and two. They can appear in court. We have the, what do you call it? Like we have a constitution. You can apply for bail. Zning, is it? But this thing of saying 6 months, bro, in 6 months, those guys can be gone. They can move to the UAE. There's so many things. Lots of things can happen in 6 months because now these are also dangerous people.
And that gives them, a, call it 6 months or whatever, for, you know, to find out the people that are in these cases and off them. You know, now, now we don't have people to go and speak to say, I was part of this and I received that and... You know?
And you know, they've already started doing. Times Live did it yesterday and I retweeted it. They've already started smearing Mkhwanazi.
They're like,
you haven't spoken about the 5 million rand tender that you and... And I'm like, fuck that. In my opinion, I said, even if Mkhwanazi has stolen 100 mil, it's fine. Do you know why? He's paid in the number of souls his commander sent to hell direct and save the taxpayers' money. Because we'd have violent criminals who cost the state 14,000 rand each per month to house in jail. He has sent them directly to their boss, Satan. It's fine. That saving in the prison, he can take it in the form of tenders.
So now my question would be, these people are making us look bad outside of the country.
Think they can? Of course,
right? If you guys, if Waras, you were the president and PH, you were the deputy, what would you do? What are the implementations that you would put in place?
Act decisively.
The steps.
Act decisively.
Act decisively. That's, I think that's the only thing that you can do is act decisively, bro. It's just like...
Because this seems like buying time.
True. But, you know what? Also, bro, this actions like, actions like this really help you for your campaigning in the next election year. It's like you can come up and say, I'm Fana, this is what we did. You know, it also removes a thing of like within your camp as a political party, you've got what's this corrupt individuals. We weeded it out. You know, so come electioning, it's like, I'm Fana. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5
Yes, these are the actions that
we are and we are actively trying to get rid of corruption in this country. It starts from the top, and this is what we've been able to do. This bra has got one more. This is last term, so it could be a thing of like, whatever.
Like, it doesn't need it can be the next administration's
That's
problem.
The next person's
issue. Because, you see, my thing is like, you know, I think we have to be realistic when it comes to corruption. Bruce Steele, right? They steal in every country in the world. There's corrupt politicians. But
Not in El Salvador.
Well, not in El Salvador, but what does El Salvador do? Because perhaps to answer your question, that's the type of president I'd be. So I hope I never make it there. Because hey, niggas will die, man. Yeah, you die. Even afterwards, if we find out we made a mistake, I'll just say, I know it was a mistake. But you see, these 300 was not a mistake. I'm allowed one mistake per 100, not mistakes. Is that you have to be cognizant of the fact that, yes, they will steal. Mm-hmm. But at the same time that you're stealing, what is the job that you're doing? Because that's always my thing, is that like when we hear about these stories, Bruce will get a 400 million rand tender.
Brother.
Do fuck all. The place is falling apart. You've charged 400 million. Mm. You've got all these cars and all these whores and all this lifestyle. But the job is not done. Whereas others, mtlampe they're stealing. Mm. But when you look at their department, it's running smoothly. Stuff is happening. That, in my opinion, and I'm not saying he is stealing. You know what I mean? I'm just speaking to the fact that Times Live and the South African media, which is bought and paid for, they've already started the narrative that Mkhwanazi himself is not so clean. Man, nobody's clean.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure. Yeah.
Let's be realistic.
Sure.
But gay, how clean is he?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not even framing their articles like that. They're speaking about it. Like this whole thing was like, oh well, he's a bad guy, so let's not listen to him.
Yeah.
So in other words, all of the evidence that he's brought, fuck it, because there's some suspicion that 8 years ago he did what? Where were those charges for 8 years?
Sure.
It's a very, very weird that the timing of when you want to announce what these charges is now, when he is exposing somebody else, which could be the case.
Mm.
I was watching Season 4 for Walsh's podcast.
Love that
and
podcast.
And Dr. Aubrey, Coco Aubrey.
Yes.
Mm. Mashitli.
Yes, yes, yes.
Big Boss, right?
Yeah.
He said, like, stop thinking that this is good and bad. It could be bad and bad.
Mm.
We need to see which one is more bad.
Sure. Mm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Sure.
It's bad and bad in that the entire state infrastructure is fucked.
Hooked.
Mm. It is rotten.
Yeah.
Let's start there.
Yeah.
Go to Age. You've got this worst bad that's currently running the show.
Sure.
And maybe the not so bad bad is trying to do something about it. Because there's almost like a level, like I say, where of acceptable stealing.
Got you.
Acceptable corruption.
Sad, but
what is that level? Mm. Yes. You understand?
No, my biggest issue is that the people that we have put in power, they now feel like they are untouchable. Like they will do things right in your face.
Mm.
And you can tell, like what the lady was saying, Ori, you could predict the next step. You can predict
Cyril's. He's going to say this,
And you will do exactly that. My question then be, what do we have to do as umphakathi?
Vote them out of power.
But the problem is we've been voting.
Voting doesn't work, guys.
It does.
We've been voting.
Doesn't. Look. And obviously, the next thing that I know everyone's going to say is that there's no other option. Well, maybe try the other option, which the because repeating the same vote, right?
What if all the options are shit? Remember,
exactly.
like there's Coco bad Aubrey was saying, there's bad and bad.
Yeah,
it's not to say try this the option. Other bad.
What if this China. One is the
we in shit already.
We fucked, yeah.
We in shit already. Do you get what I'm saying? No, I'm just saying. No, I'm just saying, like, to answer what you were saying, I think the simplest thing is wishing that these guys are going to...
Go away.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
So the one power that you have, collectively put together, can change, you know?
I thought that's what the GNU can change. But the GNU is fucking useless, eh? GNU is pop, bro.
Mm.
Like, this is the time that other members inside the GNU need to be like, it's a government of national unity, so we should all have a say.
Sure.
There should be a discussion to say, okay, what's the best course of action?
Sure.
In which, like we are saying, actual action should be taken, not action in 6 months.
Because
that's just the delay tactic while we now sort out behind the scenes with Senzanjan.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And that for me is like, that's why I say voting, first of all, it's every 4 years. Second of all, when voting happens, most of the people who are voting don't give a damn about this Mkhwanazi thing.
Sure.
They're voting because they need to continue receiving SASSA.
As the years go on, I'm pretty sure that narrative's going to change. And I think in the last couple of years, it's evident that, you know, power has been shared between other parties. I think what really sucks is that if we were... You know, if people were giving vote towards the EFF, now three other parties are going to come out of the woodworks to take from that share that would have gone
you know,
from the one party to the other, which I think is quite swag. But
that's the game.
But it is chipping
Don't
away.
Don't let the player.
Yeah, but it is chipping away from the larger vote of the thing. Look,
I hope when we get there, there's something left to save.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because my word.
Yeah.
The place is fucked,
Look,
bro.
I'm no political analyst, but I'm just saying, like, with the younger votes that are coming in, and the less interested they are in certain parties, it's showing, you know, with
the
lesser
numbers.
Vote. Yeah, or the vote shifting from the traditional vote to...
Mm. Yeah. Do you think, I've asked this question before, right? Do you think it's fair that it's one person, one vote? Do you not think that Rebson, who works so hard, they had black natives?
His vote must
His
count
vote
more.
Should count five.
No, and PA, nah.
No, just hear me out, yo. Hear me out. Hear me out. Wait, I am.
Because know how this country set up.
Wait,
yes. Inequality.
Mamela, I mean, the man asked, but, what would you do if you were president? So I'm saying, hypothetically
El Salvador,
speaking,
yeah, I'm with you, El Salvador. Wait,
no, no, not El Salvador. Just to say,
yes,
in the voting split,
yes,
right, if I am a prisoner locked up at Jose Mamburu, is it Jose Mamburu prison?
Yeah.
Should my vote count? No, because he's involved in this.
That shit.
Wait. He's involved in this thing. His name was mentioned, right?
Sure.
I'm saying him or any other prisoner, their vote counts one. In lieu of the fact that these are the allegations against you, this is what you're in jail for, your vote still counts the same as Rebson's vote or Waras's vote. Or the guy there that's working at the call center's vote.
Yeah.
That's number one. Number two, the person who is a burden on the system in that they are not a net contributor to the system. They are a net consumer from the system because they are on social grants, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Their vote also counts one. I'm putting money into social grants because I pay tax every year. So does PH, so does Rebson, so does Black Natives, so does Paula, so does Imperium, right? Why is it that my company, which contributes to the fiscus, me as an individual contributing to the fiscus, why have I got an equal say as somebody who is taking from the fiscus?
Yeah.
It's not to say I don't want to pay for that person. I do. But they are voting to their own self-detriment. You understand? You're voting for this 350 grand while you're living in Deep Slot. You live in a shithole. Let me help you. Let me be the custodian of your vote so I have a say in where the money I'm trying to give you to improve your life is directed. I think you should be building shit in Deep Slot. I don't think you should be taking a Sasa grant and drinking it out. Yeah. You understand what I'm not trying to say, fuck the poor people. I'm trying to say, yo, you guys seem to be making the wrong choice for yourself. Eh? You're doing the instant gratification choice.
But I feel like with the structure in which this country is built in, right, it will be really difficult for you to measure who gets more votes and who gets less, because there are people who strive or like they do well in oppressing other people, right? So my chat is, if there is a system that they can utilize to oppress more people and get their power, they're going to definitely use it.
Yeah.
So my issue is that, yes, we can think about that, but at the same time, that's not fair on the
You're saying it might be unfair in the other direction.
Yes.
In that it could be taken advantage of.
Because what if I come from a family where we are in Deep Slot, but I'm actually a smart boy, and if I have the opportunities that you have, I can be someone, right? But now
you're
I can't
my
have
vote.
That because with your vote, you are saying that it's the same thing as the zoning of the schools. I used to have a problem with that because the smart kids and the kids that deserve to be in that school just so happened that they are farther
away
from that from that zone. So the issue is that now we are zoning the election, and you are getting more because you are paying more tax, which doesn't really make sense.
But I am paying more tax. So what about me now, the guy who's paying more tax? And maybe I'm not oppressing anyone.
But at the same time, you're paying more tax.
Yeah.
I'm also paying more tax. We have to look at the margins of what we are earning.
I'm going to lend you a right. But I'm going to lend you a higher.
You're wrong. It's sounding like the big A.
I'm going to lend you a higher.
That's good. And can I see? Man, I can't lend you a higher. There was a question on Twitter the other day, right? And I retweeted it. It was Angin Tutula and PA. They've been going to like clinics and hospitals and stopping illegal immigrants from getting medical care, right? They're like, where's your ID? Otherwise, you can't come in. And then obviously they go inside and they're like, look at the clinic.
Empty.
There's like five people here type of thing, right? There was a ward at one of these hospitals. There's 90 pregnant women. Four of them were South African. Right? Alarming. So Mina, I just commented and I said, look, that shit is alarming. It does seem to be a problem. However, we are now reaching the point where in trying to fix the problem, Mm-hmm. We are creating another problem.
Another problem.
Which is?
We are crossing that morality line.
Okay.
Bro, you can't deny a woman who's about to give birth the right to come to a hospital medical care because she's Ethiopian. Like, that's cruel. Do you, like, do you know what
I mean? No, I'm with you.
Like, where do we draw the line? Yeah. I do sympathize with the people who are in those hospitals. Mm. I go collect meds for my son at Joburg Gen purely because it's a medication that it's fucking expensive, like 2,000 rand a box more. Right, number one. And number two, you actually can't get that original version. You get the generic version at pharmacies.
Sure.
They don't hold it. It's too expensive.
Mm.
You want the OG version? You go to the government hospital.
Yeah.
As a citizen, I go. It's my right. But boss, I sit in the same queue there. You understand? You must arrive there at 7 in the morning. You're lucky to be out of there by 12.
Yeah.
I'm not sick. I'm just collecting meds. Sure. Imagine coming there. Your leg's just been amputated. You have to come here. You don't have a choice. You're in this queue. How do you think the people feel knowing Ugutsi, there's people in front of them in the queue who are abanga apparently type of thing, you know? So when Tudula is doing this, the people largely support it because they live in that community. It directly affects them.
Sure.
And Wara's there tweeting from Melrose Arch.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? I'm not in a position to say, hey, you guys, stop being cruel. Let the Ethiopians in. I got to shut the fuck up because it's not my clinic that I go to.
Look, man.
But I understand the moral line that's being crossed in that you're looking for a solution, but you're now crossing into territory where it's like, perhaps this thing is not such a good idea.
Sure.
And the question that came out of it was,
how do you approach it?
Why don't they come with their IDs? Because there was a Nigerian guy arguing, saying he has ID. And they were like, we don't care, you're Nigerian, Fusak. We hear your accent.
Mm.
You see, now it's like, but I have an ID.
Could have been fake.
Even though you have an ID, it's fake. You've got no proof that it's fake. You can't say, present your ID and come inside.
Sure.
And then if the person presenting their ID has an accent you don't like, you're actually, fuck your ID.
Maybe then there's an opportunity, you know, for the presenting of the IDs where a Home Affairs comes in. And now we I'm just saying, to solve in this uniqueness, because it's a unique problem that we have as South Africa compared to other countries, right? Especially with the this medical
one. Yeah, it's a drain on resources problem.
It's like, okay, cool. I'm just now, I just thought of what you were saying now. It's like, okay, cool. Now there's a station in your Home Affairs, you know, like in the banks where there's a Home Affairs to check the validity of certain things.
Yeah, fuck, it's too.
Like, oh, okay, cool. Mfana, I'll sponsor the IT. In fact, no. And in fact, mash. You know?
Yeah,
same time.
Yeah, the bank can refuse.
Same time.
Yeah, you know?
Sure.
Where it's like, no, I'm just saying in this instance where it's like, okay, you're actually carrying a fake ID. That's a little bopper.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Let's make an example one time.
Yeah.
To comment on what you just said now, bro. Nurses are like, man, we go to work now. We can handle the amount of people that we have.
Yeah.
The stock of whatever it is that we have can handle the amount of people that are now in the clinics and stuff, where it's just like before.
It's manageable.
You go to work and leave work, and there was someone sitting in the waiting area that you couldn't serve, all because of the numbers that we were attending to. You know, so it is a blurry line when it comes to morality.
It's a blurry line.
But I will say that it is it's an effective approach in terms of weaving out what isn't, what isn't, you know?
Yeah.
This is where government structures then come and saying, okay, we got it from here, but...
But then the question is...
No, that's how I'm leaving it.
I was going to say, are you comfortable, right? Because this was the question. Are you comfortable carrying around your ID to prove you're a citizen?
Well, you're supposed to, by law, carry your ID.
There used to be a thing.
No, hold on, guys.
The
hold on. No, guys, hold on. By law, you're meant to carry your form of identification.
When I went to Turkey, can I tell you? They told us at the hotel. They were like, "Yo, if you're moving, move with your passport."
Yes.
Right.
Mm.
And twice, like once at the mall, and once with the other place we were going.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They were like, they come, they speak to you in Turkish. Yes. You're like, "Hey, how are you?" Whatever English. Mm. They call someone who speaks English. Says, "Hi, how are you? Which country are you from? Please, can you present valid ID?"
Sure.
Then you show, good to know, I'm from South Africa. Here's my passport. Here's my paper.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, that's a don't pass system. But Turkey's trying to say, carry some form of ID. Because that'll weed out a lot of problems.
Wrong. The premise of the don't pass was obviously segregation, right?
Yeah.
Right. And so I just want to highlight the premise of what we're speaking about.
Well, it was the limiting of movement, because you couldn't, because you had to have a reason to be.
100%. So that's why I was saying,
However,
I want to address something that also just happened in the last week, where the UAE said Asnandaba na ne Nigeria, right?
Yeah.
And I'll provide the screen grab. But essentially, what they said is that to get a tourist visa between the ages of 18 and 45, if you are a Nigerian citizen, is basically next to impossible.
Yeah. Forget about
you
it.
You have to have 10,000
dirhams.
$10,000 US dollars, wow. Or the equivalent in naira, right? Mm. For the last 6 months, if I'm not mistaken. The documents that are required are ridiculous. And I think they're not even issuing out 18 to 45. I think post age 45, you have to have the 10,000 US or Naira equivalent and then other supporting documents.
Because at that stage, you're like a Nigerian timer.
And they will only give you for the amount of days that you are applying for. There's no multi-entry, whatnot. So if it's 2 days, 2 days. And this is a tourist visa. Obviously, for business, different story, right?
Yeah.
But why I'm just putting it to the table. Why is that not looked at? Because it's like, we've dealt with this issue. We've had the hush puppies of this world. This is what's happened. Gah. If you want to come into the country.
Exactly. And like why is that not being called the big A?
Yeah, you know. So I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying it's a decisive way of to curb the influx of, you know, to curb the influx of people that we, you know,
that either, are coming in. But I feel like the difference with that is if you have a leader who's decisive from the get-go.
Yeah. Damn right? Straight, son.
Yeah. Because now you can't have a dancing leader around. Who, with this thingy, is decisive. Okay, cool. If it doesn't involve him or it doesn't involve his people, he's decisive.
Sure, yeah. Like when you fire the DA guy. Yeah.
Then from there, when it's someone else matches, or it's his people and it's close to him, it's like dilly-dally.
And again, to address the uniqueness of what I was talking about in South Africa, from a proximity perspective, geographically, where we are positioned in Africa, we are surrounded by what? Mars, Zim.
Hey, we're surrounded by boats of age.
Namibia. So what, four or five countries, right? Where our borders are pop.
Yeah.
You can literally walk or cross a river into the country.
Musina is a border town. So
Musina's right there,
People used to walk past and just come through. They will deport them today.
Sure.
Then tomorrow you'll see the guy walking.
Yeah.
As the police are coming over by the bridge, they are crossing under the bridge.
Sure.
And they are coming back the same time.
Sure.
So
they're running from tree to tree, shade.
Wow.
Border control is cooked. Bribery is at an all-time high. Or what's the word I'm looking for?
Corruption.
You know, within those. Yeah. So of course we have that problem. And if we don't address those things, you know, it's a knock-on effect. If
your borders are porous.
Poor, influx of people. That then puts a strain on, you know, state resources It requires decisive, you know, the decision making.
Yeah, but we need a president like that.
Before we become the shady problem, political party, hold on. Mm-hmm. I think before we become the shady political party, hold on. Before we become
No, I'm asking Katie something else. Yeah,
I was gonna say before we become the shady political party, I think we should speak on some form of excellence that we saw this past weekend. Wimbledon. Wimbledon. Carlos, is it Alcaraz? I think, Carlos Alcaraz lost to Jannik Sinner. Alcaraz has won, I think, twice the Wimbledon.
I was hoping would win. I don't know when he got knocked out, though.
Djokovic.
The American boy, the black lighty.
Who?
His sister works for.
Oh, yeah, for Morgan JP
Stanley.
Morgan.
Morgan Stanley. Yeah.
No, I think he was.
He fell off. Right?
Yeah, in the earlier rounds.
Because he went through like Boma quarterfinal, let's say.
Yeah.
And obviously, because he'd now made it further, the sister had scheduled a trip.
Yes.
For up to there. They were actually expecting him to lose.
Yeah.
But now, because he won, he's like, yo, Morgan Stanley, please give my sister extra leave day. They did.
But the Wimbledon was pretty dope. But
when we're talking about tennis, I want to touch upon, what's the name? Is it Serena Williams?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I don't know much about tennis, right?
Sure.
Yeah. The only person I know on tennis is Serena.
I don't think...
the only people I know...
I don't think Messina's produced any...
Don't even look at those things.
You can't play tennis in Messina, dog. You got to run shade to shade.
Sure. But actually, you can play. If you're running from shade to shade, I'm sure...
Yeah, you're good in between.
You know?
Yeah, you're good in between. Sure.
But my issue is I saw her body transformation recently. I don't know if you guys saw it.
Who? Serena?
Yeah. She went from being thick.
She's a mamzo now.
No. She's extremely skinny. And also her face, like she's bleaching. People are saying she's bleaching and stuff like that.
She did a glow up.
Yeah, so,
the Ozim, yeah. Maybe.
So the question that a lot of people are saying is that it seems like once you start dating out of your race, you have to like twitch a few things, you know, about yourself. So what do you guys think about that?
I'll let you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's my intention, but I'm joking.
Well, PH has been targeting white, so he too is on a Zempic.
wish, definitely the gym. I don't know, I can't comment on that, but I just know that Serena had a different build after she retired and she became a mom.
But when she played, she was thick, but she was frisk. That's why she beat everyone, dog.
Before we wrap it up, Rassie Rasmussen
and the Springboks,
Rassie and his greatness. That move that they did,
where they kicked off just here,
there was two moves that they did. So the one was they basically had a line out midfield, right? From a ruck, they had a scrum. That was actually done. That was done by, I think, Paul Boys High.
That move
was done by Paul Boys High or Paul Jim, one of the two.
Oh.
Earlier on, you know. So they were. I was actually shocked when I saw it.
So was it like a recent thing or?
It happened this year in this year's season.
Okay.
Yeah. So they did that, but obviously, you know how the rest of the world hates the Springboks and World Rugby.
Yeah, then they're like trying to say Rassie's cheating.
I'm sure there's a meeting right now from World Rugby trying to ban that move, you know. But that, and then I didn't get to see it, but it was from the kickoff.
The place kick, yeah.
Yeah, from the kickoff, an intentional foul so that they can go into a scrum. I saw the highlights of it.
Yeah, you know how they usually, shocked. I also saw the highlights, because usually they kick,
into the other
territory.
Now they
just kicked
To
enforce a scrum. Because obviously the whole team was there. They didn't have to chase 100%. And catch.
To my knowledge, I thought it was supposed to be a penalty because they intentionally did that.
Yes, because they're essentially passing to themselves.
But it wasn't a forward pass. So
it was because it's
totally it was a kick. So that's why it's not.
No, but then the player was in front of the
didn't
player.
He run from behind him?
No. So when if the kicker kicks and the player in front of him, and you're from your team, there's a player of yours in front of yours, that's obviously a foul.
Yes.
Kicker must always be behind the player.
Must be behind.
The player who's eligible to catch the ball when kicking, they need to be behind.
Yes.
My issue is, I think what they did was, firstly, it needs to clear that 10 meters right from the halfway. And it was intentional because you could see how they ran. Kicked. I wish we had the video, but he kicked it. And I don't know if it was in line or in front of him. But by the time he caught it, it was just like, okay, cool, planned. Let's go, because we know that we've caught something wrong. So I'm speaking because I haven't seen the
video. But it's the vision of Rassie that they have an issue with. Is that when he thinks out of the box and he pulls these moves, they try to say, foul, that's illegal. Let's put together a fucking commission of inquiry.
Of inquiry.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
And at least their commissions are very quick to...
Shout out to the Springboks, are doing exceptionally well. Yeah, I see Springbok-related advertising everywhere. I saw a little thread online where people were obviously speaking about the Springboks. Some were saying rugby is racist because the ticket prices are too high. There's plenty of blacks at the game.
Those ticket prices, my brother,
but
are not cheap.
But
not cheap.
The team is performing at a world-class level. If you and I went to the World Cup final of the Club World Cup, we're not going to pay Derby prices. It's not going to be 80 rand. Because it's Chelsea, PSG. We need to also keep that in mind, in that, yes, the ticket prices are high, but they're high because they're selling out. They're high because the popularity of the sport and the level of these guys are performing at the highest level.
Sure.
The chat was champions. The chat I saw was on some but Bafana Bafana games. Uh-huh. And I'm like, Bafana Bafana, bro, what are you comparing here?
Yeah, you can't compare
those. You cannot compare those two. Yeah. Fair enough, rugby and soccer, completely different competitions. But it's like, when it comes to the ticket price, it's informed by the performance of the team. Everybody wants to see a Springbok game, not only South Africans. Cats are traveling from all over to come and watch these games.
Got you.
Making sense? So yes, the ticket prices are high. Perhaps what they can do is they can separate a certain section. They're in the cheap seats and give those tickets or make those tickets lower price.
More
priced.
Affordable, yeah.
But then it also just becomes like, I remember they did it with Global Citizen. Remember the tickets were like fucking 20 grand or whatever. Yeah, and they were like, oh, no, this is too expensive. And then I think government came in and said, now we're going to earmark, you know, 20,000 tickets or whatever and make them cheap. You know?
Sure. Mm. Look, I'm with you. And I think just to add on to the commercial, how they've commercialized the Springboks brand is, I think they even opened up a shop, Sandton City.
In Sandton City, you know, right there by Naked.
Yeah, they've got a shop now. They've done an amazing job in turning that thing into like a crazy business. Mm. The amount of monies that just from a product placement or brand placement on the jersey, the amount of monies that like the likes of F&B have had to pay, I think Coca-Cola and is it Betway? I think Betway has like crazy amount of money. So with that being said, you know, there's a lot of money that goes in circulation in the economy of rugby or the economics of rugby. My only thing is that the end user, which is the fan, you know, yes, the Springboks, the product that they offer is like world class. But then there's the, you know, complexity of the South Africa, call it South African economy or pocket or affordability. And that needs to be taken into consideration. Mm. Not everyone whose place owns a farm, you know, in Free State can travel from wherever to go watch the rugby game or even buy a suite ticket. You know, that's not everyone. So there are some people who are avid fans who come from, whether it's Langebaan or the Cape Flats or Soweto or whatnot, who want to go and watch the Springboks. And that
Do you think they'll make enough noise to cause action?
Thingy's busy there. I just don't know which side he'd lean on. You know, Gayton is actively there, and he seems like a minister who's, you know, who's for the people. I've seen him on certain occasions like, hey, I've got the tickets.
I've got the tickets,
you know. So I hope that he continues the same thing with the Springbok games. Yeah. Because, I mean, look, even the game in PE now, I had friends from Mthatha, which is about 600 kilometers away from PE, drive to go watch that game.
And they had tickets.
Yeah, they had tickets.
Because they could afford it. PH's friends are balling.
No, come on. I'm just saying that, you know, they hadn't, I think the Springboks hadn't played there since 2017, and it was a big economic booster for the city as well, all the hotels were full, all the venues were.
Yeah.
The knock-on effect of having the world game, class. Yes. Yeah. Is huge, you know? So we'll see. Even the guys who sell Biltong.
Boy, they are. Those are the steel phones.
Even those guys ran out of Biltong, so clearly business was good.
And phones were gone.
Yeah?
Those
guys are always at an event with Biltong, and they leave with Biltong.
With Biltong. They live with Biltong and something else.
Yeah,
it's not only just.
Anyways. That's it. Rapson, thank you very much, man.
Can I, before you close, PH, can we take a break? I have something for PH and Rapson.
Oh, whatever.
So, I actually found a video clip over the weekend, right? Mm. And I thought it was very fitting for Mkhwanazi, right? Because, you know, the Zulus came out, dog. They're like supporting that guy.
Country.
The, right. The country. Whole country, right? Yeah. And the late, great Mkhili Chanhleko.
Yes.
When he was giving his speech the last time, the government was essentially against the...
What the people want.
What the people want, right? He had this little clip, and that guy, all his stuff was gold. So I wanted to roll that one for Mkhwanazi first. Roll that one, Wandi.
Besamba nayo kangaka namabutho. Mase kungokugcina. Bese sinqindwa.
Umen
fuck off. Fuck off. Angakubopha sonke ke.
Angakubopha sonke ke.
But that's what people were saying. I was like, hey, man. We are going to riot.
Yes.
If you think you're going to stop us
from marching for the king, right? So this was the king's final funeral procession.
Yes. Yeah.
He was like, there's no way. Because they were trying to like put those COVID things to say wear masks, no gatherings of more than spanbani. Yeah. And he's like, how? We've been moving with this guy for 50 years.
Yes.
Now it's the last March.
Best you don't want us to...
So I hope Mkwanazi comes with that energy. I think the media is trying to smear him. I admire the fight in the man. He's putting his life at risk. So I see now Mkwanazi. And then the next one is if they don't drop the price of the Springbok tickets, then we're going to pull this move. Yeah, roll that one.
What a time, Dub.
Yes, yes.
What a time. Dub.
Yeah.
Hey, what a time, dog.
Bro, that guy,
what a time.
So I tweeted it on the weekend. I was like, yo, dog, if government doesn't, if the powers that be don't start listening, we're going to have to go find these patriots.
Yeah.
Boy, that guy, dog.
We're going inside.
Eat cake on the shelf.
We'll be child Bulldog now. The Rocky
There's
Bulldog.
Another clip. He was in the fridge, like where the alcohol was. And he's like, Saputa,
That was an insane time in this country. Hey, we've lived as a country. Yeah?
We'll come back. No? They must give the people what they want. Otherwise,
South Africa is the best country to be 100%. In.
Best like country on earth.
And once you travel out of South Africa, that's when you realize, we have it good.
We're living soft.
Yeah.
Even with all the bullshit.
Yeah. Mm. Bro, thank you for your time.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it, man. All the best. And we look forward to calling you for $500. I'm joking.
I'm making that call right now.
After the show. So, my man, what were you saying about
$500? So, exposure.
We're exposing each other.
But yeah, brother, thank you very much, man. Your foundation of your business, I think, will buy you longevity in this industry that we're in. And you said it. We're of this world, but not in this world.
In this world, but we are not of it.
I think that's a principle to take in a lot of things, and I'm definitely going to take that. But yeah, shout out to you. Thank you for your time.
Mink gang,
are you selling merch? Is this your merch? Is this your official merch?
Chinchilla.
I'm joking.
You've taught me something better. Better also means taking from something from 30% to 31%.
Yes, so, my man.
Yeah, but yeah, shout out to you and thank you.
So
but
much.
Shout out to everyone showing some love on the socials. And we forget to push that people can also listen. A friend of mine took a photo. He was driving down to Durban, and he was taking a photo that he was listening to us on, I think it was Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And we always say comments and whatnot. But yeah, shout out to people running up the numbers on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Run them up.
Sponsors, come and find us.
Wink, wink.
Eh?
But yeah, hit us up on the socials. Share those clips. A lot of people do share the clips. And show us some love on the comments there. But yeah. From us,
we're out. Take it easy. If it's easy, take it home.
You know what it is. If it's easy, take it home and have it all with you all the time, which is your fucking ID.
Yes.
We're out of here.